We're in a well-known portion of Scripture this evening, turning to John chapter 14 for the Gospel message. And again, as you're finding your place, thanks again for coming out. And it's great again to be here. So John chapter 14, John's Gospel chapter 14. The title the Lord Jesus Christ, he comforts his apostles, he announces his coming for them. So it says in John 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we'll pray that God will bless that reading of his precious word. In this passage, we see the disciples deeply troubled. Previously, they heard the Lord Jesus Christ announce that one was going to betray him. They had also heard him tell Peter that he was going to deny him three times, and they were greatly concerned about the fact the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to leave them and that they could not follow him at once. We know this because in verse 36 of the previous chapter, it says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." At this point of their last night together, the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically outlined God's provisions for them as troubled disciples in a troubled world. In John 1, in verse 1 of John 14, the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, exhorts the disciples not to be troubled. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." This command can be translated literally, "Keep on trusting in God, keep on trusting in me." And the secret to having an untroubled heart in a troubled world is to trust God completely. Yes, there is hope for us in this troubled world, and our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation are born again unto a living hope. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You see, through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has a righteous basis upon which he can save ungodly sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of sin. Through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has indicated his complete satisfaction with the sacrificial work of his Son. The work of redemption is a finished work. All those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour will be raised from among the dead. This is our living hope, the expectation of being taken home to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be like him forever. It is a living hope because it is grounded on the living Word of God and was made possible by the living Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who arose triumphantly. He arose from the dead. Titus 2, verse 11 to 14, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. God's grace appeared when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, and especially when he gave himself for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ's substitutionary work on the cross at Calvary is sufficient for the redemption of all. God's offer of pardon and forgiveness is made to all. Acts 2 verse 21, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the good news for all ages. Salvation is offered to all people on the principle of faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way of salvation. Romans 5:18, therefore as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. It's the free gift of salvation. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has brought justification of life to all who put their trust in him. You can imagine someday, perhaps somebody you know approaches you someday with a special gift for you. How would you respond? Would you immediately offer some money to help pay for the gift? Of course not, because to do so would be a great insult. A gift must be accepted for what it is. Something freely given and unmerited. If you have to pay for a gift or do something to deserve or earn it, it doesn't make it a gift. True gifts are freely given and freely received. To attempt to give or receive a gift in any other manner is to take away the fact that it is a gift. And so it is with our salvation. God offers us salvation as a free gift. He does not attach strings to it, because to do so would make it something other than a gift. In addition, any attempt on our part, no matter how small, to pay for our salvation by doing something or giving up something is an insult to God. Nobody in heaven will be able to say, "Look at me, I made it. With a little help from God, I made it." Salvation is all by God. Not even the smallest part of it is the result of our own works. What we do or do not do, as God says in his word in Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This free gift must be received by faith. Only those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ receive justification of life. Only those who truly receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord Jesus, only those who truly receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are saved. He gave himself not only to save us from the guilt and penalty of sin, but to redeem us from all iniquity. Believers today have that blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ coming for his bride, the church, and we must be prepared for his arrival, and to do this we must be saved. God has given us opportunity to be saved before the Lord Jesus Christ's return. We are in a time of grace, so that everyone, everywhere, might have every opportunity to be saved. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Yes, it does not mean it is a time to delay salvation, though, because the time to be saved is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. To attain this living hope, you must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John 3 and verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And perhaps you're listening even over the internet, and you're in the need. You're in need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who can give you new life, that second birth, which is the spiritual birth. The Lord Jesus Christ, he proclaims that ye must be born again. John 3:17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is not a salvation that is unattainable. It's not a salvation that's out of reach. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be saved. When you come unto him, he will not turn you away. He still says to sinners, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can go directly to him whenever you trust him. He is the giver of eternal life. He did not come to condemn the world. He came with a heart of love to win poor sinners to himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says in John 10 and verse 9, I am the door. If I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ makes himself responsible for those who put their trust in him. Whenever you go through the door, you receive life and you are saved. Acts 2 and verse 21, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This whosoever, it includes you. It includes everybody and anyone. No one has ever been excluded, and nobody will ever be excluded from the offer of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he says in John 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of this world, the light of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from him, there's no deliverance from the darkness of sin. Apart from him, there's no guidance along the way of life. And apart from him, there's no knowledge as to the real meaning of life and the issues of eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised that anyone following him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see, means to believe on him. Many people have the mistaken idea that they can live as Jesus lived without ever being born again. But to follow the Lord Jesus Christ means to come to him in repentance of sin, to trust him as Lord and Saviour, and then to commit your whole life to him. Those who do so will have guidance in life and a clear and bright hope beyond the grave. John 12:46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. To run away from the Lord Jesus Christ, however, is to turn away from the light. Have you come to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the Saviour of the world? Have you trusted him and received everlasting life today? The Lord Jesus Christ, it says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. John 12 and 36. So believe on him while there still is the opportunity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16, 31. So as we see, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can be saved. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. There are many paths we can take in life. Life presents many choices. The choices we make, they determine our future. We can choose a career path, and we can choose where we're going to live, for example. There are many life choices that we make, and God has given us the opportunity to make choices. But the greatest life choice that we can make is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. He who said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only way. There is no other way. Have you come to him? Are you trusting in him? Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, the way which seems right to many people is salvation by good works or by good character, or doing their own thing, feeling there's no need for God or no need for the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. But we see the warning that the end thereof are the ways of death. The true fact is the only people who will ever get to heaven are sinners saved by grace. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that we may have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Acts 13 and verse 38, we read, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So through the Lord Jesus Christ, we see there is forgiveness of sins. There is full and free justification from all things. Justification, this is the act of God by which he reckons or declares to be righteous those ungodly sinners who receive his Son as Lord and Saviour, by which sinners are cleared of every charge against them. God can righteously acquit the guilty sinner because the penalty for their sins has been fully met by the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. 1 Peter 3 verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was the just one, yet he was treated unjustly. And why is this? It was that he might die for us, we the unjust, and bring us to God. Peter writes in the epistle, in 1 Peter 2 verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see, this was a once and for all substitutionary death on the cross for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place on the cross at Calvary. He did not die because of his own sins, because he was sinless. He knew no sin. It was he who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 2 Peter 2, verse 22. It was he that might bring us to God. Wearsby states that the phrase, bring us to God, is a technical term. That means gain audience at court. Because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, we now have an open access to God. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, Ephesians 2 and verse 18. He has made the way of salvation and access is open. Won't you accept this invitation to be saved? And to find hope in this troubled world, you must repent of your sins. This means not only to be sorry and remorseful for our sins, but to hate sin and turn away from it. To make a complete change of the basic motivation and direction of our lives, and to accept our total dependence on God. Luke 13 verse 3, it says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 3 verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So repentance, it is much more than feeling sorry for your sins. True repentance is admitting that what God says is true, and because it is true, to change our mind about our sins and about the Saviour. Repent ye therefore and be converted. The message is repentance toward God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless we turn from our sins, we cannot put saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is clear that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Saviour and Lord. John 1 and 12, it says, as many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Have you received him? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the whole truth of the way of salvation. Ironside states, God has set him forth a prince and a saviour. And when we receive him, we become his. To receive him is to trust him, to open your heart to him. Do not make a difficulty of that which is so simple. God has used the plainest possible terms. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 verse 28, he says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest. Believe on me and you will have eternal life. Look to me and you will be saved. Receive me and I will make you my own." To receive him, throw the heart's door wide open and he will come in. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Revelation 3 verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me." Ironside in his commentary goes on to mention that there's a beautiful gospel song that says you must open the door. You must open the door to him, the Saviour. You must. The Lord Jesus Christ, he will not force his way in. Will you open the door? Will you let him in? At this very moment, you can bow your head, open your heart and say, "I want you to come in and be Lord of my life." Won't you receive him? "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God." So to receive him is to believe in his name, to take him at his word. It is to trust him. God has given us his witness concerning his Son. Do you receive his testimony into your heart? Romans 10 verse 9 and 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation." If we believe at all, we believe with the heart. Otherwise, we do not really trust. The Bible makes it clear, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." If the Son of God has not been received by faith as Saviour, you are still dead in trespasses and sins. But if you have received him as your Saviour, God says you have everlasting life. Let's take him at his word. There is assurance of eternal life through salvation. In John's first epistle, he writes in 1 John 5 and 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You see, this verse I've read, it's like an addressed letter. In this case, the address is unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. The message inside it says the contents are, "It is that ye may know that ye may have eternal life." So in order for this message to be addressed to you, you must believe first on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ may know that they have eternal life. There's blessed assurance of salvation, leaving no room for doubt. Romans 15 and verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Yes, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have sins forgiven. 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And no matter what you've done in the past, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Because God is faithful and just, whenever we confess our sins, there is cleansing from all unrighteousness. Not just some unrighteousness. Once again, here we can take God at his word. You see, God has provided a heavenly future for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The God who created everything cares deeply about you, both now and forever. We can take God at his word. We can trust him completely. The rest of the passage in John chapter 1 outlines the support basis for this trust in God. In the light of his departure, the Lord Jesus Christ promised his disciples that he would return. He said in verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This was an entirely new revelation to be contrasted with the Lord Jesus Christ's earlier revelation concerning his second coming to judge the world. This was a coming with an entirely different context, and his purpose was to take the disciples out of the world and to the Father's house, which is a clear reference to heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ has gone before to prepare a place for those who believe on him. This is the first reference in the New Testament to what Paul later referred to as the rapture of the church. Scofield puts it here that the Lord Jesus Christ gives a promise of his personal return for his own people, a doctrine that is expounded by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So at this moment, the disciples were both emotionally and theologically unprepared to receive this truth. They did not comprehend, however, that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to leave them. This was devastating to them because they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and had left their homes and occupations to be his disciples. They simply did not understand what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said he was going to leave them. But we see in verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Yes, he was going to heaven, and the disciples knew the way to heaven. He had told them many times. Thomas, as he contemplated what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, did not know where the Lord Jesus Christ was going, and it was likely the other disciples had the same problem. Thomas said in verse 5, "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" You see, if one does not know their destination, they will not know where they're going. You know, it's the same if we get into a car and drive aimlessly with no destination in mind. We won't know where we're going. And this is a profound truth that affects all our lives. Knowing heaven is the ultimate destination is a great assurance to believers, especially in times of trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ was referring to heaven in this passage, and the other disciples should have known that this was their ultimate destination. The answer the Lord Jesus Christ he gave to Thomas was both profound and simple. He said, "Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So as we see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only way to heaven. Heaven, it is a real place, a loving place, and it is an exclusive place because not everybody is going to go to heaven, only those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, 1 Timothy 2, verse 6. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not simply teach the way or point the way. He is the way. His statement that no man cometh unto the Father but by me takes away any other proposed way to heaven. You see, there is no other way but by him. He is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. I will trust that God will bless this gospel message. Perhaps you're listening. Won't you come unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, there is no other way. He loved us. He gave himself for us. He shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary. He is the door. He is opening his arms. He wants you to come and to know him as your Lord and Savior. Won't you make that your greatest life choice this evening? To make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. We pray again that God will bless this message. And we'll just close by singing from the chorus book, number 50 in the red.